Hello, just before we get started with the podcast, I just want to say a massive thank you to Beast Gear, who are our sponsors. Evertonians can get 10% off all fitness equipment by using Toffees10 at the checkout on www.beastgear.co.uk. So get over and check it out and let us know what you think.
And now Horn. Stewart wants it. And looks for Emma Catchy!
It's a grand old team to support. And if you know your history, it's enough to make your heart go whoa.
Hello and welcome back to the Grand Old Team podcast. I'm Adam Partington. Leighton Baines is back. Does illness force Sam Allardyce to be more positive at home? Cenk Tosun scores his first goal at Goodison, and what a goal it was. Knockout needs knocking out, and beef, turkey or lamb, which mincemeat is the best mincemeat of all time? All that plus loads more on this week's Grand Old Team podcast. Hello, welcome back to this happier edition of the Grand Old Team podcast. Last week was a little bit depressing. Me and Mikey had a bit of a moan. Those of you who will have listened to that, then you will have heard all of that. Don't bother going back and listening to it and depressing yourself if you haven't. There's no point because Everton won yesterday at home against Brighton 2-0. A decent performance. And Leighton Baines was back, and also Groucho is back on the Grand Old Team podcast. He hasn't been very well. Groucho, are you feeling better?
On the mend, thanks.
Are you drinking tonight?
No, not tonight. Just giving that a miss for the week.
Have you had a bit of time off?
Yeah, we also, while I wasn't well, we had a little bit of a family deal as well. So after overdoing it a little bit, I've just given it a bit of a rest for now. Strongest thing for me tonight, tea.
Fair enough. Watch the normal tea or like a
normal tea. I don't do them fruit teas. I'm not a fan of green tea. The only nice green tea I've ever had ginger in, which was good for a hangover, I must admit.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not keen otherwise on that sort of thing. None of those fruit teas, they just don't
do for me. You don't strike me as that kind of fella, no. To be fair. Although I do like one of them fancy teas. My new job, the fella who is a designer who sits next to me, and he likes them as well, so we've started to build a bit of a collection. Like tomorrow I'm taking in green tea with a hint of lemon. So I like them fancy teas.
Oh, you see, I can understand
teas.
The appeal of that. I think lemon and tea can be quite nice, but no, it's just builder's tea for me. Really.
Builder's tea, yeah. Mm. Brilliant. Well, it was. In fact, I'm going to say it was two decent halves yesterday and a decent result. So I think we're all very quick to have a moan when and we especially do on this podcast when things don't go to plan, and Everton aren't very good, but yesterday they were a lot better. Did you enjoy that, and did you feel quite good after the match yesterday?
It's nice to have a win to talk about, isn't it? Nice to have a positive result. I thought the first half might maybe a little bit lackluster. It's been that bad lately. I suppose the first half seemed excellent, didn't it? But after the half-time break, I thought in the second half we were much better. Definitely deserved to win. Even Chris Hughton said, didn't he? He said when they asked him, did you deserve anything from that game? He just went, no. Which is fair enough. You know, nice to hear a bit of honesty. I thought it was good. And I think one thing that did strike me was just having two fullbacks playing in the correct position. That's not meant as a slight against Martina, but he's been filling in on the wrong side. Look what we've got now. Balance, you know. I know Theo Walcott went off injured, didn't he? But him and Coleman seemed to link up well. Baines is back. I mean, if you saw the way Baines was yesterday, he was great.
Yeah, it was.
You know, I'm surprised he didn't take the penalty, to be honest with you. But I think Allardyce has said was it Cenk Tosun and Baines wanted it, so he might well be back on penalties next time. But yeah, I just thought he was a breath of fresh air, Baines.
Yeah, he was, and there was a couple of times as well where you could see when he did bomb down that flank, and he would give their fullback something to think about. Yeah. And then, you know, and we just haven't had that. And it allowed to create space for obviously Bolasie on that side. And
but
it was,
the other thing that impressed me about him was, I know he's a defender, but he gets forward a lot. He was defending in their penalty box at one point. He was tackling in their penalty box. And it was almost like, you know, how far up are you defending? Are you defending in front of their goal? Mm. But I was very impressed by him, actually. I know he might not have had the best form before his injury, but I thought he was great.
No, yeah, it was good to
almost
see him back
to the
well.
Old Baines, almost, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was. Look, it was just really, really good. There's only so much you can say on it in terms of him being back. But I think he's one of them lads, isn't he, for us, where he is a talisman. He's part of the, for want of a better word, he is part of the fabric at Everton. And then the practical side as well that you've already spoken about there in terms of the outlet that he gives us on that side and how much we've missed that was just, you know, it was on evidence. It was evidence completely there yesterday, you know, in terms of how we've missed somebody on that side and an actual left back. It was just really good to see him back. But yeah, in terms of the lineup though, that was I tweeted out before the game. I didn't actually go to the game yesterday, so I've obviously had to watch the match of the day, and then I've seen the extended highlights. I think I tweeted out when I saw I was on a train and I saw the lineup, and I said I've actually got no issues with that. That was a really kind of positive lineup. And someone tweeted back to me and said, "Well, you know, probably you'd drop Michael Keane out, and you know he was a lot better yesterday with Jagielka alongside him." But did you It seemed like as well that a lot of people were pretty content with the lineup. You know what I mean? I wasn't the only one, which was kind of novel, because normally when we get the lineup, that's when people start to fume. But there wasn't so much that yesterday.
No, when I saw it, I refrained from messaging anyone. I like the look of that, because every time I do that, we end up getting hammered. But no, I thought it did look good. And Ashley Williams, you know, having the good grace to take himself out of the side, which is, I think is what we needed. Look how decently they defended. I wouldn't have him in an Everton shirt again, the way he played. But no, I mean, Michael Keane was okay. Jagielka was okay. We've got sort of the defence back, really, haven't we? I would have gone with Mason Holgate instead of Keane myself, but kept the clean sheet, so they did the job.
Yeah, and Jagielka's another one as well. You know, he's kind of like a bit like Baines in the sense that he's part of the furniture of CSM now. And I'm not under any illusions. We needed an upgrade on Jagielka. He's coming towards the end of his time as Leighton, but I think they're just against teams like Brighton at home. You know, they are with their experience and everything else that kind of comes with that. They are the kind of players that you want around. Now, you know, in a couple of weeks when we've got City and the pace they'll have in the movement and the Reds as well, it's going to cause both of those two will have far harder games than they had yesterday. Yeah. But with that said, you know, it was great to see, I think, Jagielka back in there as well. And I'm with you. I said the same thing to my dad today, incidentally, we were chatting about it. And I said, you know, now I wouldn't even throw Ashley Williams back in when he comes back. To be honest with you, moving forward, I'd love to see this as a settled back four now. Do you know what I mean? I would love be the thing. Barring injury, this is how we roll now.
Yeah, you've got that. You've got, in case one of them needs a break, you've got Holgate, and then we'll have Funes Mori to come back as well, who's also slightly left-sided, I suppose, left-sided centre-back, isn't he? I just don't think that the whole thing doesn't speak volumes for Ashley Williams, does it? I think he's had his time, considering someone who was brought in, not necessarily to replace Phil Jagielka, but to sort of maybe help in the phasing out of him. If anything, he's made Jagielka look better than he is.
That's a really good point, Grouch. That is a really good point. The fact that when he came in, he was seen as this replacement.
Yeah.
Also, you know, a captain type figure, and we've not seen him demonstrate any of that.
Yeah. That's the only fault, I suppose, over the years, I could point to Phil Jagielka. I think perhaps Seamus Coleman would be a better captain than him, a bit more of a leader. I don't think he's maybe vocal enough. But from his defending point, you know, side, that you couldn't really he's been great over the years, and you can't deny his commitment.
Grouch, I see what you're saying there with regards to Jagielka, in terms of he's not somebody who goes and grabs people around the scruff of the neck, and he's not, you know, the type of player who gets in referees' faces and stuff. And even, I mean, you know, you look at Shane Duffy yesterday, and I think he demonstrated a lot of those captain-like attributes. But with Jagielka, one thing I would say is, yeah, he isn't, I don't think he is the most vocal, and he isn't that type of character, like a Roy Keane character. But I think one thing he does do is he leads by example. It's more within his actions. Yeah. And that's where I think he isn't as bad of a captain as some people make out.
That's a fair point, yeah.
You know what I mean? It depends what you want from your captain, to be honest. And if you do want somebody who's going to get in people's faces, and look, there's a time and a place for that. And I think we've said this before on the podcast, you know, about how sometimes, especially in the last couple of years, or, you know, the Martinez I'm thinking of, particularly Everton, were too nice. And obviously Jagielka kind of represents a lot of that. But I think what he does do is he does lead by example, and he does kind of, if you're playing alongside him, I mean, you know, this is evidence with the way Michael Keane played yesterday. He knows where Jagielka is. And he had Seamus Coleman on the other side, who probably is more of the fellow who will get about and, you know, and have a word with people. I mean, you see the lecture he gave to that knockout as he left the pitch yesterday.
Oh,
we'll talk about
great,
we'll talk I've got yeah, we will chat about that in a second.
I love
James
Coleman so much for that. I nearly sent him another steak card today. He's great, isn't he?
Yeah, I love him. You nearly sent him what?
A Mother's Day card. I think he's
that
great. Oh,
a Mother's Day card. Yeah. imagine how weirded out he would have been by that.
It would have been, like, yeah, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Why is the lad who does the Grand Old Team podcast sending me Mother's Day cards? I think you've got section for that, to be honest. I'd have been fully on board with Seamus Coleman for alerting the authorities to your behaviour.
You couldn't argue with it, really, because, you know.
No. It's a nice thought, Grouch.
I won't do that next.
No, don't.
It's too late to go into the post box and receive it now.
Oh shit!
It'll just have to go.
You sent it late then, if you only put it in there today. So he's gonna get a late Mother's Day card from Groucho. He's gonna be like, do you know, this crazy stalker can't even send me cards on time. Do you know what? Brighton have never won at Goodison before. That's the kind of record that we have at other places. they've got one with us, which is nice, isn't it?
Yeah. I think there's one team, isn't there, that we've beaten every team we've faced except one, Carlisle. And you at Carlisle, I think. We've never beaten Carlisle in the league. We have beaten them in the cup.
Yeah, because we beat them in the cup a couple of years ago.
I think that might just be through sheer longevity. But yeah.
Oh really? Have Carlisle spent any time in the top
one season,
flight though?
One season, and we missed out on the league. If we'd have beaten them, we'd have won the league. We missed out on the league by like a point or 2 points or something.
I've always had a wondered why I've had a hatred for Carlisle.
Yeah,
I've never even been, and it just seems like one of the places. No offense to anybody who's from Carlisle, but I just that must be why I've got like inherent kind of hatred for them, because they cost us the league and we've never beaten them. But I thought that was really interesting, because I mean Brighton did Clough manage Brighton for a bit?
I swear
he did. You know.
You might be right. Not that I recall.
Someone will tweet
you probably
us.
Have
tell
people,
us.
Someone will probably tell us that we're either right or wrong.
Yeah. Eggs will tell us underneath whether or not we were right on that. I think I'm saying this, Grouch, because I really like the film. You ever seen The Damned United? And I'm pretty
sure he gets
off down there to manage Brighton. But anyway, so yeah, that was a bit of a surprise when I saw that yesterday.
I remember that. Yeah, I think you're right.
I think I'm right. Okay. Yeah. Do you know one other observation I want to make yesterday? And tell me whether you thought this was the same thing. I noticed a bit more of a... I feel like there's a bit more of a team spirit now within the squad.
Yeah. It seems just a little bit more together. The crowd wasn't angry. Hopefully the people realised that, hang on, maybe we'd also better show a bit of positivity as well. And I think part of that might have affected Michael Keane. You know, I mean, if you were playing next to Ashley Williams week in, week out, we'd probably I'd probably shat as well. But next to assured defenders, he did seem to look a bit better. But yeah, it just seems to be a really good all-round feeling, I suppose. The only thing that concerned me was Theo Walcott going off holding his hamstring, but I've seen photos later of him walking and smiling, so it can't have been that bad.
Oh, that's
just thinking
good.
That, especially with... Well, no one's put a statement out or anything. I don't think they mentioned it on Match of the Day in the interview either, did they? Normally they say, what's the matter with, or how's his injury, but there was nothing. But I just thought, when he went off, I thought, oh, hang on. You know, one of the few bright sparks recently is now going off while we've got Man City and... Liverpool coming up, and we've got Stoke away as well.
Yeah, we've got Stoke away next week.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's, people keep going Man City and Liverpool, but Stoke away would be hard, no?
Yeah, obviously that's up next Saturday. I mean, they've got City tomorrow, and I'm hoping they get a good hiding. And look, we've got to, for me, next week, Everton just need to go. I don't want any changes. I'd love us to start the same way. I mean, you'd expect that Garner
keep a settled side, yeah. Why was he out? Was he out injured, or was he just left out?
Well, Allardyce said after I watched Allardyce's post-match interview with Everton TV, I think, and he said something about they were both poorly, him and Morgan Schneiderlin. The point I was actually going to come to was I think that kind of forced him to be a bit
Schneiderlin.
More...
Look, Schneiderlin, bad egg, or supposed bad egg, left out the squad. Great team spirit, look what happens.
Yeah, well, just on the team spirit, before we go back to Schneiderlin and Garner and potentially the team for Stoke, one observation I was going to make, Grouch, was that after Yannick, when Yannick Bolasie put that ball over and Bong, the fellow with the greatest surname ever.
Oh, I know, it's great for me.
It's terrific, mate. After he put that one in his own goal. And what happened is, like, literally the entire team went to Yannick Bolasie, and there just seemed a lot more kind of togetherness. And I'm going to make an observation. I could be talking nonsense. I don't know what it's like in Everton's dressing room. I've never been in there, but I think this happens when you introduce good characters. I think Theo Walcott's a very good character. I think he's probably a nice fella to have around. I'd certainly like to work with him. I think he's the kind of guy that, you know what I mean? He'd be a good guy to have around, Theo.
He looks positive.
Exactly, and he doesn't seem like the
kind
of guy... He oozes
positivity.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who, you know, would cause any issues. I generally think Cenk Tosun's probably quite a good lad as well. You know, he's not got any issues in terms of the language barrier. He's come in, he seems like he's settled really well. I saw him on Instagram last night out with Holgate, I think, and Sigurdsson and stuff for someone. I think it was Pickford's birthday or something. Anyway, the point I'm making, you know, Leighton was back in the side as well, and Coleman obviously has come back into the frame. We all know Coleman's a really good lad as well. So, you know, the type of fella that you could potentially send Mother's Day cards to. But he... but what I'm trying to say, though, Grouch, I wonder whether the sheer volume of these characters in and around the squad is just kind of provoking a better atmosphere. And I think that can only be a benefit to us moving forward.
Mm, well, definitely. I mean, look at the 04-05. Squad that got fourth. They weren't the most talented players in the world by any stretch. There's no way that was the fourth best team in the league. But it goes some way. Team spirit, it makes you be more than the sum of your parts. And hopefully we're just seeing the first little flushes of that come back yesterday.
Yeah, I hope so. I really do. I think it's really understated the importance of that within a side.
Oh, yeah.
And I wonder sometimes whether it's overlooked within the modern like setup of a football club now.
Well, just look, think that everybody, me, you, whoever's listening, if people in work are miserable and gets all the time, you don't want to go into work.
No.
If you've got a good bunch of people, it's tolerable. I'm not saying it's enjoyable because, let's face it, nobody. If you don't hate work, you're a very lucky person.
Yes.
But it makes it tolerable. It makes you don't wake up and dread going in. You know, and it must be the same for footballers as well, you know, in a sort of macho environment, you know. If you've got a good set of lads who that you count as friends as opposed to people you know and see daily, you know, I think that counts for something in any job. And it must count for something with them.
Yeah, I think you're right. I hope we're not overstating this. I generally, it's just an observation that I've made. But
no,
but
I think you're right. I think it goes a hell of a long way.
Yeah.
You're better off having a good team spirit and people who genuinely like each other because they'll fight for each other then.
Yeah, yeah. and on Stoke next week. So yeah, for me, Crouch, it's go again, keep it settled. If Garner needs to miss out next week, I would be willing to miss it. And one of the reasons is as well, you know, you think about that Stoke side at the moment, and Shaqiri's a danger, but apart from that, they've got a real lack of options up front. They've got nobody who puts the ball in the net bar. Shaqiri obviously plays out wide and cut in, so you know, I don't think that we'll need the protection. I'd love to see Wayne sit in and just spray balls. He'll get plenty of time. They haven't got a lot of legs in midfield as well. They play people like Darren Fletcher and obviously Joe Allen and stuff in the centre of the park, Charlie Adams. So you know, there's no reason why Everton can't set up the same way at Stoke next week.
Exactly.
If we do, I think we could cause them some serious issues, and we've got to go into that game and think, this is a team we should be beating. You know, they're down the bottom, they're struggling, we're going there. I mean, you know, from their perspective, we forget this, but from their perspective, and obviously, you know, it's no secret that I you know, it's the area that I live in and I know a lot of Stoke fans. From their perspective, they look at Everton and go, you've got, like, what are you on about? You've got Wayne Rooney's going to be coming to town. You've got Gylfi Sigurdsson, Theo Walcott. That new Turkish fella looks decent up front. These are the kind of things they'll say, you know what I mean? You've got Phil Jagielka's always been a decent defender. Jordan Pickford's one of the best keepers in the country. He's on par with Butland at the moment. Do you see what I mean? So, like, there's no reason why we can't go there and beat them. So I'd like to see the same side, I think, is what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, I think so. It shows a settled side. And on a couple of points you mentioned there, firstly, Wayne Rooney, to me, it seemed like he was playing just in front of the back four, not necessarily sweeper. That worked. I thought that went quite well. So maybe that's the few. I don't think maybe people have seen him as playing that deep, but it seemed to do the business for him yesterday. Garner, like you say, if he has to miss out, There's no point shoehorning people into his side. Look where that got Ronald Koeman this year. He tried to play the people who he think or he thought he had to play. That wasn't necessarily the best people that he had for the job at the time, you know. So if the lad's there to doing the job, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If they want someone to provide that sort of biting tenacity in midfield, one thing I was happy to see yesterday was, I know he didn't get on, did he, but Benny Beningame on the bench. He's going to be a good player, him.
No, he is. Well, you know, you mentioned that tenacity in the centre of the park, and I mean, Tom Davis is somebody who gives
us
that
game,
that combativeness, and you'll need that somewhere like Stoke, of course you will. But I think on Wayne Rooney, I'm with you there, and I think look, you've got to adapt to who you're playing, and I'm not saying that. I mean, Garner for me would need to be play against City, because you will need that energy, you'll need those legs in the centre of the park, you'll need someone to try and break up the play, because they're just going to zip the ball around you and it's going to be extremely tough. And the same for the Reds, unfortunately, but for next week, I don't know why you would need to bring Garner in for that,
exactly.
You know, because you're going to get more time on the ball against Stoke, and you haven't got the, you know what I mean, you got the luxury of being able to think about things a little bit more and not chase the game, hopefully.
Well, another thing with that is we've got 37 points now. We're still somehow ninth. Still. One more win, you've got 40 points, then the pressure's off then.
Yeah.
So maybe once the pressure's off, you start to enjoy the football a bit more. All those little tricks that Bolasie tries to pull off under pressure and they go wrong, maybe they start to come off, playing without negative pressure on you. You know, I think if we just get that one more win to, you know, ensure safety, as it were, I just think part of the problem this season has been the pressure on them. We were expected to get to go for fourth. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because obviously it's not, but maybe the pressure was just a little bit too great all at once. And then it went from bad to worse. Then we ended up in the bottom three, weren't we? And then the weight of expectation then turns into incredibly negative pressure, and then we saw what effect that had on the team. Now that's slowly ebbing away, it's starting to look a happier place. Maybe once the pressure's off, we might start to see something like yesterday that resembled Everton just that little bit more. Hopefully we've just, you know, we're coming out of the woods now, so fingers crossed.
Well, we're 10 points off of Crystal Palace, who are in 18th. So you would probably say now, I mean, look, Grouch, what do you think in terms of points needed to stay up the season? Because I reckon...
You might actually already have it.
Yeah. I honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if someone stays up with 30, 4 points, 33 points this year, which is mental. And again, you know, speaks to a wider issue with regards to the quality of the league. Because I remember a season, I swear there was a season, Grouch, when Di Canio played for West Ham and they went down on like 14-5 points.
Yeah, they did. They did. I think it's the only time that amount of points has ever seen someone go down.
Yeah, Glenn Rhoda.
I can't remember exactly when it was. Something like 2006 or something, was it? Or something around
there. I think
it was
a bit earlier than that.
Was it earlier than that, was it?
I think it was. Glenn Rhoda was the manager, I'm pretty sure anyway. And I do recall them going down with like an obscene points tally. And you think now, I mean, that will... I mean, what did I just say? What are we up to now? Are we on 37. So,
37,
hey, look, there's every chance still that we could finish up on 45 points, and that could make us, that could get us 10th or something, you know? I mean, I would want to aim higher than that, of course, but that's
I mean, I think at the minute, I think if we, well, obviously the way the season's gone hasn't been great, but if we just aim for the top half, I think that'd be, the way the season was at one point, I think that'd be something at least. And just get as high as they possibly can. Forget thinking, oh, we're in Europe or we're not. Just get as high as you can and take it from there. But yeah, you know, City would be hard, Liverpool would be hard. But it's Liverpool in our ground, not away. In the FA Cup, we matched them, I thought.
Yeah, we did.
We played better in the league game than we do, even though we got knocked out. So, you know, and it's a Goodison. Sometimes that makes a difference. Form goes out of the window.
And we're due one.
We are well overdue. I think Martinez never won one, did he?
Nope.
Unsworth didn't play one, did he? Allardyce has drawn one, lost one. We haven't won a won a derby since God, it must be about 6 years now, mustn't it? Seven years.
The last
2010, 2011
Yes, the last derby we won was
Arteta and Cahill, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was Arteta and Cahill. It was 2-0. It was a good day. I did. I used to do Fan Zone. I did Fan Zone that day, which was good fun. Do you remember that Sky Fan Zone?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, I did it. I did it with there was a red they drafted in at the last minute to do it. The normal red, I was like proper dreading because he was a bit of a ballend and he was like, you know, he dropped out for whatever, and then this other lad came in and they'd lost to Blackpool the week before, so I took some Blackpool rock and gave it to him, and he was obviously, oh, you bitter, you know, and all that stuff. And then, yeah, it was a great day, that was. So, yeah, that. But anyway, the point of, that's 2010, and that's
October
shocking.
October 2010, gee whiz.
It's horrific, isn't it, well, Grouch? It really is.
Overdue.
So, but you're
overdue.
Right, though. You were right, and you know what? I still wouldn't want Sam Allardyce to be the Everton manager next season, but if he was to get us into the top half and beat Liverpool, he would most definitely go with my blessing, and I certainly wouldn't, you know, hold any serious animosity towards him. You know what I mean?
No. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Not that I will anyway, because I think, look, he was given, his remit was to keep us in the division, and he's going to do that more than likely.
Job. Well, yeah, it's not. I think it says a lot for us that current situation of ninth is absolutely not good enough. Because it isn't that good. You know, the fact that we've got that view that our current situation isn't good enough. Yet Burnley, who are in a similar position, are having the season of their life, and that's great for them. It says a lot for the standards that we've got, and that's good. So, you know...
Well, we're Everton and they're Burnley.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You're right,
that's
mate. So
exactly. A crisis. If, you know, say they were ninth, it would still be a fantastic season for them. It's crap for us.
Yeah.
And the fact that we've got that attitude is great. So is Sam Allardyce the person to carry on with that next season? Probably not. But, you know, if he keeps us off, because at one point we were in the bottom three and playing, but we'd been beaten by 4-1 by an awful Southampton side.
A Southampton side, that are going to get relegated.
Yeah, they handed us our arse on a plate that day.
Yeah.
We did not deserve anything from that game, and they hammered us. That's, people forget, I think, how bad this season was before Christmas.
Well, they do. They do, Grouch. And we were talking about this last week, me and Mikey, and I never called for the head of Roberto Martinez. I never called for the head of Ronald Koeman. I got close on both of them, but never did. And I certainly was refraining from going that far with Allardyce last weekend, because I thought this just, it doesn't make any sense for us to do this.
I mean, I'm not
point.
I'm not saying we did that podcast, didn't we, where we both said absolutely not.
Yes.
And then when he came, thought, okay, let's see where it goes. Now, all right, he, like you say, he's done the job that he was drafted in for, or very nearly has anyway. It's up to the powers that be at the club to decide who's next. I'm not saying he's great. I'm not saying he's the person I would pick. But, you know, credit where it's due, he's done the job that they asked him to do. That's all I'm saying. I don't want to get loads of tweets later saying, oh, you love Allardyce and all that, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying he's done what he was required to do, you know.
Yeah.
It's the too cool for school brigade just seems to hate on everyone.
I think
he did recently anyway.
Yeah, I think, mate, I don't think you'll get any tweets like that unless anybody's like hasn't listened to a word you've just said there and caught the word Allardyce, because I think giving ourselves a bit of a pat on the back, I think we've been relatively balanced on him. You're right. Yeah. We were open when we did that assessing the pod. The Assessing the Candidates podcast, we both went down the list and we went, no. But then when he came in, we both said, we'll give him a chance. You know, we'll give him a chance because he's Everton manager, and we have done. And I didn't last weekend. I was like, there's no point in sacking him now. It's just silly. It would be a massive disruption. People were touting Unsworth again. And you want to talk about short memories. You've just pointed out there, we went to Southampton and we got absolutely battered 4-1. Now, was it all David Unsworth's fault? No, it wasn't. But it was evident that David Unsworth couldn't do the job, in the end. And that pains me, because I love Unsworth, as you do, as an Evertonian, but he couldn't do the job. He wasn't right. And then Sam Allardyce came in and steadied the ship, and we got some wins. Yeah. And it hasn't been pretty at times, but...
And how bad for Unsworth would you have felt if he took us down? And he would not give it up. But even if he knew himself he wasn't up to it, he would want to try... himself, you know. So what was done had to be done, I suppose. And I was thinking a couple of weeks ago, maybe, oh, should we have gone for Moyes? But looking at West Ham, no, absolutely not. We shouldn't have done. I think we perhaps have made the best out of a really bad situation this season. What happens next season is up to the board, and I suppose also is up to who's available and how much they're willing to spend. I would go Simeone myself. I know that Fonseca's the popular choice at the moment. But anyway, it's up to the club to decide. And I don't really know what way they'll swing myself. That's just, maybe we'll be doing another assessing the candidates in 3 months' time. Who knows?
Yeah. No, we will, definitely. I think we will, regardless. We'll have to see what position we're in there, as you say, with the available candidates that are available. But I've got a feeling that
he'll get mutually consented, won't he? And what that means is he'll walk away with £6 to £10 million.
Yeah, and you know what? though, Grouch, if we do that assessing the podcast, if we do that assessing the candidates podcast, and we're in a situation where Sam Allardyce has kept us in the division, and who knows? We have beaten Liverpool along the way. Then I'll start the podcast by openly saying, you know, cheers, because that's what he was asked to do. And if he's walked off with $6 million, he's walked. That's just football. So
we were only going one way.
We were, so it's one of them, isn't it?
If we beat Liverpool as well, what I want him to do is walk across at the final whistle, if we've beaten Liverpool 2-3-0 or something, walk across the pitch with two great big jugs of gravy saying, how's that, to the away fans. I'd love that.
Yeah, it would be hilarious, because I think that they've become even more smug and even more just... sometimes intolerable with the way that they go on, and Sam Allardyce being at Everton has been the butt of a lot of their jokes, so it would be quite humorous if it was Sam Allardyce.
Oh, it'd be poetic, wouldn't it? That would be recent, great.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because you'd always go, well, he managed to beat your amazing, what is it they call it? Hardcore. What do they call their stupid, what do they keep on saying?
Heavy
rock
metal
and roll football. Yeah.
Heavy metal football.
Heavy metal. Shut up.
Gang of garbage. Have you ever heard anything like it?
I haven't. So, Knockout yesterday. I've got to say that Leighton Baines again demonstrated why he potentially is one of the most laid back fellas on the planet. Because I would have literally tried to volley Knockout's head off when he was getting up there. And I think most people would have, you know, not an overly angry fella, but I think you know, he wanted to hurt him, and it was terrible, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought Coleman was going to fill him in on the way off. But, I mean, look, I think that was quite right as well. You know, what he did there, he's just come back from the injury, hasn't he? He knows what it's like. He could have broken his leg. He just went flying in at him. I think it's something else as well, going back to the assuredness. He had the experience to see what was going to happen and moved out the way. He just, if you look at it again, he just hops over him because he can see it coming. But, you know. Sorry, I just shut the door there. Yeah, he might have to edit that bit out.
Nah, I'll leave it.
You could see him just hop over. He maybe saved himself a leg break, which wouldn't be great for us. You know, just got your left back in the team, and then he's put out. But it was disgraceful. I mean, straight red card. What will he get for that? 3-match ban?
Is that
a three?
Yeah, there's an argument to be, he potentially does it. He was trying to hurt Leighton Baines. He genuinely wanted to hurt him.
All because he got it in the face with the ball.
Yeah.
You know, how childish do you want to be?
Incredible. Obviously, from Coleman's perspective, Coleman's just gone over to him and just said, you do realise, mate, I've just had a year out because of people like you. I'm trying to... Who did injure Seamus Coleman? Who was it?
I've forgotten the Welsh fella.
I can't remember now.
I've forgotten his name.
No, I suppose it's different.
I can't remember his name.
Because I don't think that was malicious. And obviously, but Knockhart was trying to be malicious, and he's a good job he didn't connect with Leighton because he put him out again.
I mean, look at the difference between... that was extremely malicious and with intent yesterday. And look, the fella who broke... was it Rondon who broke... What's-his-face's leg?
McCarthy.
James McCarthy's leg. Look at him. He acted completely differently. It was obviously an accident. I think it's just the gulf in class between persons there.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And also Wayne Rooney missing a penalty towards the end. Have we mentioned Tucson just quickly? Oh, I'm just chuffed.
He took his goal well.
So chuffed for him, Grouch.
Absolutely. He looked happy. He looks like a decent player, the one that we bought now, hopefully. Even last week, I know we got beat, but his header was good. It wasn't one of those lucky headers where they just cushion it in. You could actually see him purposefully moving his head, directing the ball. And I think it's useful to have someone who can head well as use your feet. I suppose the last person we had that was maybe Duncan, perhaps, who was better with his feet than a lot of people gave him credit for. But anyway, that's another story. He looks good. He seems to play well with Walcott. Good news. Hopefully the page is turning.
Yeah, I think as well as the centre forward, you know, they always say when you hear centre forward speak, once you get one and once you get another one, they start to roll in, and this gives me a lot of optimism for next week as well, because playing against a potentially quite vulnerable side that's low on confidence, someone like him now, he's going to be up for it. Cheng Tucson's going to go there next week and expect to score, and I think that's terrific, and I'm really excited about that. And I do think that, as you say, the pressure starts to drift away as we start towards the end of the season, and then he'll come up against other teams that have started to go on their holidays, as they seem to do, and try new things, and it could be a good opportunity for him to stick five or six away between now and the end of the season and finish the season with a pretty healthy tally, given the amount of games that he will have played. And I think that'll be really good for him and us going into next season. And if we can get him another decent partner up alongside him, then I think, you know, I'll be really excited to see what he can do next year. So obviously we have only got a couple of minutes left. Wayne Rooney missed the penalty. I'm not going to, you know, go on too much about that. I saw someone talking about it on Twitter, and they were saying about how he's gone that way before,
I thought he struck it well. It's just that the goalie went the right way, stretched and saved it. You know, he got it on target. I don't think when people say that they missed the penalty or they saved the penalty, if the goalie saved it, okay, well, he got it on target.
Yeah,
it's unforgivable for me, for the professional footballer, at the penalty spot to shoot wide or over.
Get
it on target, and the goalie saves it. Well, I'm not, to be honest with you, I'm not convinced it was a penalty. I thought it was a bit soft. But still, we got it. We could have had three. But, you know, sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
Just before we finish, I just wonder what you thought of West Ham and the schemes that went on there. That was quite big news, wasn't it?
Yeah, I did. I watched it last night. I went round a mate of mine's house, and I was like, you know, we sat and watched Match of the Day, and it was kind of funny in like a not very funny way, like, you know what I mean? It was funny, like, some of like the fella running around with the corner flag. I mean, that's always going to be funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
But no, I thought, do you know what? If anything, it made me feel slightly better about Everton.
Yeah.
I
understand the West Ham fans for wanting to protest that whatever they feel is going wrong there. They're not my favourite club in the world. But apart from the fellow with the corner flag, which, yeah, that was hilarious, the rest of it, I suppose they've got every right to protest. You know, and part of it's against the team, part of it's against the board, etc. But I know some people are saying, oh, this is off this. I think the clubs belong to the fans, regardless of who the actual owner is. And if they think something's going wrong, well, I think they've got every right to voice it. Maybe trying to attack players is the wrong thing. But, you know, shouting at the directors, obviously, I don't know what was said. I don't see too much wrong with it, you know. But that's just me.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, some of it was a bit unsavoury.
It was a bit ugly, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I only saw it briefly.
See, now, I know that they are quite humorous, and I know we've, in the past, historically, we've had a bit of a to-do with the West Ham lads, but Carty said something to me about how somebody who's played for both of them as well, Everton and West Ham, you know, he said how the fan bases kind of remind him of each other, and I think he did cover that by saying, look, Everton are a far bigger football club, a far more successful club historically. But what he meant by that is, in terms of, I think, the makeup of the supporters and you know, the pride that the supporters have in their own club, and I kind of see where he's coming from to a certain extent, you know, that you know, very working class type clubs and an idea, a philosophy about how the football should be played, right? Now, I know they're funny now, and the West Ham TV stuff and that, it's hilarious, and, you know, they've got a few funny characters, but I do see what he says, and I think but there is a bit of me as well that does feel extremely sorry for the West Ham fans, as you say. You know, like, they've been sold down the river with that stadium, and you know what? I think it does get a bit.
It's an awful stadium.
It is, and we've got to be very careful that we don't make the same mistakes, I suppose, and that is a fear. Yeah. But I think just one final thing on this for me is, I just think this is just this thing of, like, business people with business acumen, and they take over these clubs, and then they make promises to the supporters, as they have done there, you know, the Dildo Brothers and Karen Brady. and then, you know, and to do this to a club, and you're not doing it to a business. I mean, it is an institution, and I saw a video with one of the West Ham fans, and he was saying, look, like, you know, these guys are just business people. I've got West Ham tattooed on my neck, or whatever he said, and he said, I can't change, and they've literally just ripped the soul out of my football club, and for that, I do feel quite sorry for them.
Yeah, they're not normal businesses, football clubs, are they? Let's face it. And if they shouldn't be.
No.
I don't like all this franchiseness, you know, like, I mean, isn't Stan Crank, whatever his name is, at Arsenal, hasn't he got things in America sporting things? And Henry fella who's got Liverpool and Boston Red Sox and all, even Man City, you've got a few clubs, haven't they, or something. I'm not entirely sure how these franchises work. Watford are another one, aren't they? They've got, is it Udinese?
They're owned, aren't they? Yeah.
There's something about that I don't think's. I don't know. I don't like it. I wouldn't like to be part of that myself. No. You know.
Shame.
But that's just. I suppose that's the way of the business world. But no, I know what you mean. It's passionate fans are what make football tick, aren't they? Especially in this country.
Yeah, yeah. And I believe you started on the forum, the Everton v Brighton thread, and you asked what's the best mince. So what is the best mince in your opinion?
Beef, closely followed by turkey. Turkey mince is incredibly versatile, light, and a lot less in fat. I think sometimes with beef you need to go through some sort of the people say get a high percentage of fat to keep any burgers that you're making moist, but for me, I just think you'd end up with an oil left on your mouth. I think you need some sort of underneath 5% fat, which is readily available in beef mince. So I would say beef, closely followed by turkey.
Yeah, I'm with you exactly on that. Yeah. I completely agree. And then minced meat for your mince pies at Christmas is a very good
joke, because I wasn't having any vegetarian. Yeah, simply because I've not tried them, so I don't know.
No, and also
if you're vegetarian, anyone listening, fine, you carry on. It's just that it's not my thing.
I've tried. It's horrendous. I tried corn.
I was going to say I tried corn sausages once. The packet tasted nicer.
Yeah, mate. Oh, that's a really good observation. That they're horrific. I tried to do it for a little bit. I started feeling really sorry. I still feel sorry for pigs and stuff. But I was like, I'm going to try this corn, and it just wasn't happening. But yeah.
I've been in a restaurant at some point, and I think, oh, that vegetarian option looks nice. Oh yeah, I'll have that. So I mean, I'm not saying like, you know, I'm not like one. I like meat, but if someone wants to be a vegetarian, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But corn, it's just awful. Awful stuff. If I was a vegetarian, I wouldn't touch it.
It is. So if you're listening and you've not head over yet to Grand Old Team, head over and get involved in this poll. Currently, beef is winning by 54%.
I think beef's going to win.
136 of the votes.
There was also, if you want to have a search in the ale house section as well. The previous week, it started one off saying which is the best nut, and I think dry roasted. I think that one might still be open as well, the poll. I just think I left it open-ended. Which is your favourite nut?
I'll get off.
But to be honest with you, I like nuts, so I just voted for all of them.
Okay, good. Well, that's good to know. As always, thank you to our podcast sponsors, Beast Gear. Remember, you can beast your gear by heading over to the website and use the code TOFFEES10. And you will receive 10% off on any of your purchases. That's how you say that. I don't even know what I'm saying now. It's late and I'm tired.
Purchases.
And I've got work tomorrow. All right. So thank you as always for listening to the Grand Old Team podcast. Remember, if you haven't already, like, subscribe, share, tell your Evertonian friends about the podcast and make them listen too. They will not regret it. As always, really appreciate you listening. Thanks to Groucho for coming on again today as well.
No problem at all.
I am going to try and maybe hook up with a Stoke fan before the end of the week and try and get a preview from their side of the match on Saturday. If any of you are at Stoke and you see me, come and say hello. If you listen to the podcast, whatever, and we'll share a beer. As always, thank you for listening to the Grand Old Team podcast. I'll see you next time. All the best.
The Grand Old Team to support. And it, you know, your history.